So I must say, what an amazing thing it is we managed to fit everybody into this endo tonight with room to spare for latecomers. We don't have to lock the door. And something, of course, pulled all of us out here tonight to hear about the Dharma, to practice the Dharma, to encounter the Dharma through this unusual practice of sitting upright and still in the middle of everything. The world is quite chaotic, you may have noticed, outside and often inside. And Zen radically asks us to be still in the midst of it all. Physically still, not necessarily mentally still or emotionally still. The body has its pains and distresses. The heart has its joys and sorrows. The mind narrates everything and comments on everything, predicts and plans and remembers. And still we're asked, just stay upright and still. I was initially attracted to the topic of tonight's reading just because of the title alone, which is Do Your Best. And how many of us take that to heart, and yet we feel that we're constantly not doing our best because we keep screwing everything up. I don't know about you, but I'll sometimes start falling asleep at night and my narrator, my inner narrator, will start to go through the day and go, you know, you coulda, and if you only had, and what about that thing? That's one way to encounter reality. And of course, another way is to practice seeing that that narrator is part of this great heart that we call Buddha nature, the awakened heart, the awakened nature. Nothing excluded. And so then there could come a time in the middle of that narration of failures or successes. Depends, I guess, on how the day unfolded for us. In the middle of all that, we're invited to see what's happening. Oh, it's my narrator telling me the story of my life once again. And then these words of Linji that come to us from many centuries ago, do your best, can maybe resonate as a bass note underneath all the high-pitched nonsense that fills our minds moment after moment. So I'm just going to read the whole text that we just recited and comment as I go along. Lin Ji, some of you may know, is the Chinese name for the teacher known in Japan as Rinzai. He was the founder of the Linji lineage, of the Rinzai lineage, of which David Roshi is our living representative here tonight through the Korean line. Bamasui Zen is an amalgamation of Rinzai practices and Soto practices, the two great forms of Zen that came to us from China many, many centuries ago. And Linji was a ruthless teacher in many ways, and deeply, deeply kind in his ruthlessness, constantly telling his students to wake up in whatever way he could. He would shout and hit people with sticks. And here in 21st century America, we don't do so much of that. I don't know how it would go over. Mm-hmm. But we do it in a different way. We give you guidelines, very clear guidelines, best we can, because we're also doing our best. And then you forget them, and we all forget them, and it's one thing after another, and then you might get reminded once again. All the guidelines are completely made up by human beings. They're not handed down from on high, from some bearded white guy sitting on a cloud. They are created by human beings for human beings in order to wake up together. And every place we go to practice, there'll be different ones. Here at the temple, we have certain ones. During Sashin, we have variations on them. And so one of the things that Zen tends to set up is the impossibility of ever doing anything right. it's an amazing koan, all these forms. And, you know, designed to help us actually not bump into each other too much, and to facilitate our discovery of our own awakened heart using the technology that comes down to us from thousands of years. So Linji says, would you like to get to know Manjushri? And in this text, he talks about three principal bodhisattvas of the Zen way, bodhisattvas or wisdom beings, these parts of ourselves that embody the best that human beings can discover about their true nature, about our true nature. Manjushri is the bodhisattva, the wisdom being of wisdom. Manjushri carries a sword in his hand to cut through delusion. And he is the bodhisattva of oneness, of everything coming to be everything else as one manifestation of reality. This is such an important thing to discover in the world of form. We often have an opening to this. We call it shunyata, translated in many ways, thusness, boundlessness, suchness, emptiness, this one nature that we are all participating in, even though we seem to be separated, a bunch of skin bags sitting together in a zendo, but really just all one being. I think Jenny called it a slime mold earlier in the session. One great organism, sitting, breathing, bowing, bumping into each other. So Manjushri is the one who cuts through everything to reveal the inherent slime mold nature of the universe. Just one thing going on. And Linji goes on and says, your mind that carries out your activities right here and wherever you go, from first to last, beyond doubting, this is the living Manjushri. So all of us have this capacity to recognize the oneness. And when we see it and taste it and smell it and feel it for the first time, or again and again, because we tend to forget it, in that moment, we become Manjushri, the embodiment of just this, of oneness, of nothingness and everything, the pregnant void, one teacher calls it. And then Linji goes on. He says, your mind, that in each moment shines with the light of non-discrimination wherever it may be, this is the true Samanta Bhadra. And Samanta Bhadra is another bodhisattva who is also a bodhisattva of wisdom, but a different kind of wisdom. He's the representation of the part of us that has learned that form and emptiness, the relative and the absolute, the way things appear to be different and the way things appear to be the same are not different from each other. Just one thing going on, sometimes appearing as form, sometimes appearing as no form, sometimes appearing as me and sometimes appearing as us. This constant arising, Samanta Bhadra is the master of that, and so sometimes he's also discussed as the bodhisattva of awakened activity, because once we are freed of the world of form and released into the world of thusness, and then realize that form and thusness are the same, as we say in the Heart Sutra again and again, once we realize that's the same, there's only one thing to do. And that is to act when we are called to act and to be silent when we're called to be silent. So Samanta Bhadra is often depicted on a white elephant, Manjushri on a lion. They sit together on many Zen altars. We have a few of them in the parlor. And if you look at all those Buddhas, you'll find somebody sitting on a white elephant and another person sitting on a lion, and I just realized that they may be in the form of wooden carvings, or they may be in the form of flesh and blood beings. So then Linji goes on and he says, your mind that each moment is capable of freeing itself from its shackles, everywhere emancipated. This is the method of meditating on Avalokiteshvara. And Avalokiteshvara is the bodhisattva of great compassion, pure love pure recognition of the inviolable connection between hearts and bodies and minds. The way that when one person is suffering, everyone suffers. When one person is having joy, everyone has joy. This great being of Avalokiteshvara, who in India was considered male, and when he came along with Buddhist teachings to China, somehow transformed into a woman. We like to say he was our first non-binary bodhisattva. And so she took on the name of Guanyin in China, and then later Kwanseam Bosal in Korea, Kanon Bodhisattva, Botsu in Japan, Kanon or Kanseon, and Chen Rizik in Tibetan Buddhism. This force of unbelievable, unimaginable love, connection, compassion, resonating, the heart, my heart beating with your heart, all hearts beating together. This is Avalokiteshvara. And Lin Ji says, the mind that each moment is capable of freeing itself from its shackles, this great liberation from all of our habit forces that blind us to what the world is really about. Everywhere emancipated, everywhere freed, this is Avalokiteshvara manifesting. So you can see that all three of these people, these manifestations, are manifestations in their own unique ways of oneness. Complete, unrelenting oneness of Manjushri, the great activity, oneness arising from the recognition that form and emptiness are the same of Samantabhadra, and the great love that naturally arises through the liberation into this reality of oneness and manyness, constantly turning and moving. So Lin Ji says, these three act as host and companion to one another. Beautiful line. I really love this. Not just a host and a guest, which Lin Ji was very famous for talking about. Sometimes you're in charge, or sometimes you have to bow. But this translator, Burton Watson, says companion, host and companion, the one who has arrived to meet you, to be your good friend in this practice of the Dharma. And Lin Ji says, all three appearing at the same time when they appear. One in three. Three in one. Sometimes we only see one aspect. Sometimes we see two. Sometimes we can get to see all three separate, and then sometimes they all blend in together into this. And so then Lin Ji admonishes us. He says, followers of the way. And he's talking to us. Sometimes teachers say, fellow bodhisattvas. The Buddha himself, in some of the later sutras that we pretend were said by the Buddha in the Mahayana, courageous bodhisattvas, followers of the way, people of the path. You know who you are. That's why you showed up tonight. Followers of the way, if you wish to be in accord with the Dharma, never give way to doubt. And he quotes another teaching from a sutra. He says, spread it out, and it fills the whole Dharma realm. Gather it up, and it's tinier than a thread of hair. Can you imagine something like this? Something that can fill the universe and is so tiny that it can be carried between our thumb and our fourth finger. So little, so vast, at the same time. And then Lin Ji continues, its lone brightness, gleaming forth, it has never lacked anything. He tells us not to have any doubt, but of course this is a teaching that we would do well to doubt, to not believe. How could this be? I struggle. I make mistakes. I screw up constantly. I feel terrible about myself. I feel terrible about everything. Or I get lost in everything is wonderful, no problems, everything is great, and meanwhile we're sitting on a planet about to boil over. So Lin Ji didn't know about the way the world was heading, some things that we know now. But he did know that this is a trustworthy practice that can only be seen for oneself. It can only be experienced personally. Human beings can experience it. This is why human beings can practice this great way. He says, the eye doesn't see it, the ear doesn't hear it. He's quoting or paraphrasing the Heart Sutra here. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue. That's one way of looking at it. So then he says, what shall we call it? What shall we call this thing that's so vast that it can spread out and fill the whole Dharma realm and so tiny that it's tinier than a thread of hair? And he quotes a sage of old saying, say something about it and already you're off the mark. And then Lin Ji says, you'll just have to see it for yourselves. He says, what other way is there? And then he says, each of you, do your best. So at this coming and going session, because we have more people coming than going, and there are so many of us who are attracted to this great set of teachings that we call the Zen Path. In this particular form, as it's arising at the Boundless Way Temple, we've decided to not end our evening Dharma talks with a Dharma dialogue, but to go forward into walking meditation, which will happen fairly shortly, and which our practice leader tonight, Mark, will explain to us in case this is new to you. And the teachers will disappear and scheme and plot as to how to see all of you in Doksan this evening. So just taking a moment to feel what's present for you right now. From centuries ago, this message from someone we never knew, from a culture long ago and far away, but who, just like us, was sincerely devoted to the path of waking up to our inherent awakened heart. This is a radical teaching, and it's a profound teaching. And it's not to be believed or figured out. It's not to be strategized. It's not to be even practiced. It's not to be talked about. And yet I tried to talk about it tonight. What Lin Ji might have done is just shout or hit someone with his stick or say words that have come down to us through the centuries to inspire us this evening. And I want to just end this talk with a poem that I quoted to one of you in Doksan, which I feel like it is quite related to what Lin Ji is saying about do your best. A question arose today in our earlier Dharma dialogue, how can I know what to do? The world is on fire, the world is suffering. And for me, this little verse that I'm going to quote to you brings together Manjushri, Samanta Bahadra, and Avalokiteshvara in much the same way that Lin Ji was pointing us towards. It's by a great poet of the Midwest named Robert Zimmerman, otherwise known to some of you as Bob Dylan. And he says, life is sad. Life is a bust. All you can do is do what you must. You do what you must do, and you do it well. I'd do it for you, honey baby. Can't you tell? Thank you.